A sermon for the 7th of November 2021, based on John 21, verses 15 to 19, and 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 11. Let us pray. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Peter stood on the brink of change. Actually, change was already happening all around him. Jesus stood before him, the man who was meant to be dead. But here he was, alive. Yet the evidence of his death was there in his scars. Jesus had changed. Peter had changed. Once he had felt so close to Jesus, he had been ready to follow him no matter where he went. He had acknowledged this man as the Christ, God's anointed. But later, he had cracked in his devotion and allegiance. He denied ever knowing the man. He denied the man three times. But here he was, once again face to face with Jesus. And perhaps he felt that something more change was yet to happen, to him, to Jesus, to the whole band of disciples. Their whole world was about to change. We have been through profound changes, some of them from years ago, some in just the last two. And we are aware that more change is coming as we approach 2022, with changes happening both within this community and all around us in the post-pandemic world. For Peter and the rest of the disciples, a large change is bearing down upon them. Peter's restoration is not a return to how things were before. Jesus is ready to move on, to return to his Father in heaven. To name this as a transition in Peter's life is too small a word. It's more like a double whammy. Having gone through the shame and pain of reconciliation, then to find he is expected to step literally into the shoes of his Lord. It sounds like a happy ending when Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" erasing the shame of the threefold denial. But it is a door, it is a new beginning, as Peter receives his commission from the Good Shepherd himself. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, follow me. Take my place," says Jesus, "follow my example, the example of the Good Shepherd whose love for his flock even extends to sacrificing his own life." Like Jesus, Peter too would stretch out his hands and have them tied to the beam of the cross, which he would then carry to the place of his own crucifixion. It is a big ask, isn't it? Taking over the ministry of Jesus involves sacrifice. And who is able to fill Jesus' shoes? How astonishing that the Great Commission was left to Jesus' all too human followers to carry out. How astonishing that God thinks the church can adequately reach out to the world on God's behalf. As we come to our annual meeting and my final one here, with a time of interregnum ahead and then someone new, most likely unknown, coming in, there may be some feeling of apprehension. But I remember feeling this as a parishioner when the assistant curate left our church in Upway. Steve had been with us for 7 years, first employed as an evangelist and then as an ordained minister in his last year. His ministry was very significant and effective. Many of us had shared history and ministry with Steve, and we were apprehensive of the gap in the wake of his departure. But change is a spiritual matter and opportunity. Through the challenges and discomfort that change presents to us, God generates the fruit of growth in others. Sometimes there needs to be a space for something new to grow. For Peter and the other disciples, Jesus' departure became the catalyst for a major change in them and their ministry. They changed, they grew up spiritually, and they realized their calling as apostles of Jesus Christ. And God did this by taking Jesus away. It is not to deny the effect or power of the Holy Spirit, but there is a difference between relying on the physical presence of someone to being spiritually encouraged and aided to step out in faith. What do I mean? We can be pushed into change, into a new space, when familiar props are moved. When Steve left Upway, with despair we saw a huge hole left by him. But then we found we had the space to move into ministry, to give some things a go, to find out that we had gifts and vision too. In a way, God multiplied the ministry by moving Steve on, and he was only an assistant curate. For Peter and the other disciples, their Lord physically left them and left this great space for them to move into. And how they did is the story of Acts and the ongoing history of the church. God obviously had a cunning plan. How can God be confident that his all too human followers would come through? Like Peter. Inconsistent, boastful, at times quite thick, in the face of pressure, weak. It would not take much to call him a failure. But then, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love Jesus?" That question searches the depths of our being. That question knows all our other motives, our need for acceptance, our misplaced desires for privilege or power. That question knows that only our love for Jesus is what will sustain us in ministry. Why else would we follow him? Later in his life, Peter wrote a letter to the churches reflecting on this love. He wrote, "Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy." Well, I'm one of those old props about to be moved. And if you think there's a bit of a hole, think of what Peter had to face. Your love for Jesus will bring about new growth in this church. The Spirit will move. There will be new ideas, new visions. People will discover new gifts. Briefly, from the epistle reading, we note how God uses many to bring about growth in his church and mission. Each leader has their tasks to do, but it is God who gives the growth, only God who gives the growth. It is also God who gives the grace, the gifts, and the skills to each servant in order that they may complete the task to which they are given. There is no one servant that has all the gifts, but all share in the common purpose, serving and loving God with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. So, do not worry about the gap rather see the space and step into it. Let us pray. Loving God, you have called us to go out into the world in your service, to proclaim the gospel, to make disciples, to share your love, and to work toward the fulfillment of your purposes. Lord God, you are calling us now. Give us courage to say, "Here I am, send me." Loving God, fill us with new courage, zeal and purpose, new vision and resolve, that like Peter, the other disciples, like the prophet Isaiah of old, we may hear your voice and, recognizing your glory, gladly respond. Lord God, you are calling us now. May we say, "Here I am, send me." And may we believe that all things are possible in Christ's name. Amen.